Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is a Manhattan-bound B Express train. The next stop is Grand Street.
Mind the gap.
Hello and welcome to Skylines, the City Metric podcast. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm John. And today we're just going to muck around. I'm not going to lie to you. We don't have any plan whatsoever for this one. We're just going to. It's Christmas. What do you expect from us? We're just going to wave goodbye to the appalling trash fire that has been the world in 2016, and look ahead to the bright new trash fire that is the world in 2017. So happy Christmas, everyone.
Happy Christmas, John.
How sure you've been?
It's not been as bad as the world's year has been. I've had a pretty good year, actually. I've moved house, as our listeners have heard all about. I'm settled in my new environs. We've got a Christmas tree up. Everything's quite chirpy around Castle Bowland.
That's good. Do you think that was a good trade-off? Like, do you think it was worth setting the world on fire to for you to have a nice year?
I'm not sure I was personally responsible for it, John.
But let's imagine that you are. If you were offered the choice, would you have taken this, or would you have, like, suffered a bit to save the world from Brexit and Donald Trump?
You can't ask me this at Christmas. What kind of horrible Christmas gift is this? I've made you a lovely present for this podcast.
It's a sick inversion of It's a Wonderful Life. Okay, let's forget this and do the things we're actually going to talk about rather than this weird form of torture.
So you had an interesting idea, which is that you think a lot of Christmas songs are about cities.
Yeah, we could talk about the City Metric Christmas playlist.
Okay, what is on the City Metric Christmas playlist?
I mean, obviously you've got Fairy Tale of New York.
A classic. I think one of the best Christmas songs, actually.
Really?
Yeah, really.
I'd go with I Believe in Father Christmas, which is probably not
no,
on the playlist.
No, see, that makes me cry, so I can't.
I know, that's what's great about it.
I know, see, I quite like Fairy Tale of New York for a similar thing, though, in that I like a song where there's a proper argy-bargy in the middle of it. Also, it's very funny.
You're so northern.
Also, it's very funny if you go on YouTube and you look up Fairy Tale of New York in Irish or Ask Walga and listen to it in Irish. It's incredibly good because none of the lines scan, and you see the raw panic on people's faces as they try and make this Irish Christmas song actually fit. So I think I'm quite warm to it for that reason.
Okay, cool.
It's a very niche reason, I realise.
That's quite niche. But yeah, I mean, it's fun. I mean, it's about a city. It's really all I have.
It is about a city. What other Christmas songs are about cities?
Well, it's not just cities. It's the City Metric topic, really. So I think White Christmas is about climate change.
Okay, yeah.
Because, you know, there won't be any white Christmases once we've got global warming. I mean, just look at the Arctic. We've got Driving Home for Christmas. This is obviously about transport infrastructure.
It is. Are there any Christmas songs about the tube? I'm not sure there are.
I don't think so, not off the top of my head.
Maybe any listeners who are musical, if you can write the first Christmas song about the tube, we'll send you some kind of reward.
There haven't been many hit songs about the tube, it must be said.
No.
It's too
down in the tube station at midnight by the
Yeah,
jam.
Yeah, but that's not very Christmassy, is it?
It's not very Christmassy, but it does have a good fight in.
It does, so yeah. 2,000 Miles by the Pretenders is, it's just a sort of nerdy thing we could analyse on City Metric. That would go.
You could. That's about distances, space, time, all of your favourite things. Do we think Christmas Wrapping by the Waitresses is set in the city? Because they seem to live in a very limited geography, because she bumps into this guy a lot.
I mean, that does imply a certain sort of density of population, I think. I mean, you're not going to, like, it's not like, you know, set in the rural area, right?
Yeah, also because she forgets cranberries and they bump into each other at a late night shop, which would only be open in a city space.
That implies some kind of 24-hour supermarket, doesn't it? And it's probably not one of those sort of ones with the enormous car park that you have to drive to off a trunk road. So
yeah, I think it's like a Sainsbury's local.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or one of those kind of little independent shops they have in where you can get like coffee for a dollar in New York.
Yeah,
City,
like a bodega kind of.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've solved that one.
Yeah. You got any songs for the list?
The Coventry Carol, that's pretty...
Oh, there you go.
That's a city, yeah. That's a beautiful carol. I really like listening to the kind of Nine Lessons in Carols, very traditional, you know, choristers in Westminster Cathedral, which I guess are all oriented, sung on the radio from city spaces. I'm really reaching here, aren't I?
I think maybe it's a short playlist.
Maybe it's quite a short playlist, but that's good because, as we know, people in cities are very busy.
Yeah. Yeah, so we should probably get on with the rest of the podcast.
We should. So, John, let's look back at the burning trash fire of 2016. What was your favourite City Metric moment amongst the smouldering remains?
I mean, probably... Well, my favourite City Metric moment was probably the bit where I got to pretend to drive a train.
Have you? You've not talked about this much on the podcast.
No,
yet.
I haven't. Should we talk about that?
Okay, yeah, so...
There is actually a story about... Like, I met... someone, quite a drunk PR from Virgin Trains at our Labour conference party. Hi, Soph, if you're listening. And she was desperately looking for Jim Waterson of BuzzFeed because she wanted to get one of Britain's sort of leading transport nerd journalists to go on a train and then write about it. And I shamelessly stole this idea before Jim heard anything about it.
Sorry, Jim, if you're listening. Yeah.
I think Jim might actually listen to this podcast, actually, so because he's asked to come on it sometime. So, sorry, Jim, but I did steal that from you. But it was great. Yeah, no, I got to sit up front on the train from London to Stoke-on-Trent, and like the driver who is... I get the impression they very carefully cast the driver when picking which service to let me ride up front on. Was it pointed out the signal box that his dad would take him when he was a kid so they could watch the trains go by. It's like, yeah, I think they chose you specifically. It mostly taught me that I could never actually be a train driver, even if I wanted to, because I lack the concentration span.
But they wouldn't let you drive the train anyway.
They wouldn't. I mean, they wouldn't let me press the buttons. They let me sit in the seat and kind of pose, like, you know. It's such a smug-looking picture of me. It's amazing. I wasn't even conscious of doing that smug face, but I looked so pleased with myself.
So this is your beautiful early Christmas present from Virgin Trains. Do you have any other City Metric moments you'd like to revisit as we draw this year to the close?
Okay, at the start of the year, I found myself randomly on BBC London News walking around pretending to be lost in central London while staring at a map because of a silly article I'd written about how Crossrail needed to change the names of all its stations.
Can I just say to our listeners, if you've not seen this clip, if there's any way you can get hold of it, do, because it's tremendous.
Sadly, I don't think it exists on the internet.
I think there's a lot of screenshots taken
there are screenshots.
By me amongst the people. But it's wonderful because John is outside Farringdon Tube, which is about 10 metres from our old office, pretending to be...
pretending I don't know where I am. We spent about 4 or 5 hours on this, going all over central London so that I could kind of walk around and ostentatiously scratch my head.
I'm really sorry the clip to that is lost. This may be the worst news yet of 2016.
Yeah, it's a great tragedy. The other thing that happened in sort of my burgeoning transport nerd career was, like, for a few years now, I've been getting like slightly sad that I've never got to go on Radio 4, just because we always listen to Radio 4 in our house, and I know lots of people who go out all the time. And it was beginning to feel like a gap in my career, and I was getting snotty about that. And eventually, they got me on to talk about the bloody tube map. And there was no news hook for this. Like, I thought there'd be like some kind of panel discussion or like, you know, some stuff. But there was nothing. It was just like, let's get John on to talk about the tube map for 5 minutes on a Saturday morning, which was one of the more surreal experiences. So that's basically the story of my 2016.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's like, this is...
Speaking of tube maps, would you like your surprise yet?
Oh, God. She's been on about this for like a week and a half. This is like...
I've made you a surprise.
Okay. It's a piece of paper. I feel like this is... I can see lots of bullet points. I'm slightly nervous about this. Okay.
Everybody, welcome to the 2016 City Metric Christmas Quiz.
Oh, God. All right.
The first round is about metros.
The first round? How many rounds are there?
There are 4 rounds.
Okay. It's just, I mean, okay.
The first round is about metros.
All right.
Question one. Which metro has the longest metro system by route length?
Probably Shanghai.
It is Shanghai. Well done. Question two, which is the busiest?
Tokyo.
I think it is, but it might be somewhere in China. I didn't write all the answers down.
I think that I see a flaw in this quiz.
I see a flaw in this quiz. I think I remember the rest of them, though. Which has the most stations?
I've got an idea. That's Seoul, but I'm not sure.
It's New York City.
Ah.
And which is the oldest?
London.
Which is the second oldest?
It's somewhere really random.
It is somewhere really random.
It's not Glasgow, is it?
No, it's Budapest.
Oh.
Which popular drinking game destination is the third oldest?
Popular drinking game destination?
I'll give you a hint, it's the one you just said.
Is it Glasgow?
It is Glasgow. Why do you not know about drinking... the... Because it's completely circular.
Yeah.
So it's a common thing to do a drink at every stop. Because it's relatively small, it's just one.
Yeah, and it's like, they call it the Clockwork Orange.
They do, yeah.
They also, this really irritates me, they pretend to have two lines, but they don't.
They don't have two lines, they have one line going in two directions.
They do.
Yeah, and also I'm really scared of their station. So every time I'm in Glasgow, if I've had more than one drink, because they're very close together and contained, and the platforms feel quite narrow, and there's tubes on both sides, so I just assume I'm going to fall in and die.
So do you have to use the train between stations when
I think that's the idea, is that you then get off at every stop and have a drink.
But wouldn't it be quicker to walk?
Probably.
Okay.
But that's not in the spirit of it.
All right, okay. Next question.
Well, round two is about tube maps.
Oh, yeah, okay, I'm going to nail this one.
You're going to nail this. Which is the southernmost tube station?
Morden.
Which has the funniest terminal station name?
The funniest terminal station name?
Yeah.
I don't think this is an objective question.
It is an objective question.
I don't think it is.
It is.
I'm working around them. High Barnet isn't very funny. Edgeware's not very funny. Cockfosters.
It is Cockfosters. Well done. Which stations are connected by the Emirates airline?
Well, they call it like... Emirates Victoria Dock and Emirates O2 or something.
But
Emirates
what are the like real stations at the
moment? It's North Greenwich and Royal Victoria.
Perfect. Which of these is not a disused railway station? City Road, Wood Lane or Church Street?
Wood Lane. No, Church Street. Wood Lane, they reopened Wood Lane.
Did they reopen Wood Lane?
Yeah, that's what threw me. Yeah, there is a Wood Lane station now, which is basically just White City.
But a lot of these closed ones... There is a closed station and a new station.
I suppose. Also, like, they opened Wood Lane a couple of years ago, and the reason... It's basically just an interchange for White City, and the reason they don't call it White City is for the fire brigade. Because, like, if there's an emergency... If, like, a tube station is on fire, you kind of want to know which building it is. So they won't give adjacent buildings the same name anymore.
That's really...
So there you go.
See, this is a lovely present. You get to tell me all sorts of facts. Yeah. Which station is objectively the worst to change at?
Green Park.
Oh, I would say Bank. Okay, we'll talk about this later.
Yeah.
Which is the coolest disused railway in London?
Oh, the Post Office Railway.
No, it's the London Necropolis Railway, used to funnel corpses and mourners between London and Brockwood Cemetery in Surrey.
Okay, that is cooler. It's cold, even.
Yeah. The third round is about city facts.
Okay.
The city of Berezniki in Russia is home to the world's largest what?
I've literally never heard of it, so...
It's a sinkhole.
Oh, it's a massive sinkhole. Well, I don't love sinkholes.
You do love sinkholes.
Oh, before we move on from the sinkhole, I'm just going to mention, you know, we've often made jokes about the strange smell in this basement when we do the podcasting.
Is it a sinkhole?
No, but you know the way part of the corridor is closed?
Mm.
Ceiling fell in.
Because it rotten, mould and...
Yeah, there appears to have been a leak somewhere.
Ah. So we kind of have a...
That's that mystery. And you'll notice the smell now is less bad.
The smell is less bad.
Yeah, so there we go.
But still not gone.
No. But anyway, moving on.
Question two in the City Facts round. Which city has a population of only 824?
The Vatican City.
It is the Vatican City. Where was TV sitcom Frasier set?
Seattle.
Of which city...
Oh, I have a Seattle fact.
Go on.
You know the monorail, which sometimes pops up in Frasier?
Mm.
And I always got the impression that this was like a key part of the Seattle transport network. It's not. It's basically the cable car again. It's like this tiny touristy thing that goes for like half a kilometre that you would never actually use except if your purpose is to say, I went on the Seattle monorail. And I think that Frasier lied to me. Okay.
I think we should do a segment about monorails in the new year because I have a lot...
Monorail.
I have a lot of thoughts about the Barcelona skyline as well.
Oh, I love Barcelona. Okay.
Good. Okay. Of which city's aquarium did Matthew Norman say in 2014, this gigantic aquarium, the world's first submarium, is one of the very few Millennium projects that could be called a success by anyone not tripping on acid? To UK city.
A UK city of a big aquarium. Liverpool?
It's Hull.
Hull. Never been to Hull.
I'm trying to...
Like, there are, I think, 62 cities on the Centre for Cities database we use... on our data stories, and I've only been to about half of them. I'm gradually sort of trying to work down the list.
Maybe we should make this a project, because you look so much like James May. I think we could make a very Top Gear spin-off.
I don't look so much like James May. I look a little bit like James May.
You look more like James May than any other person I've ever met, apart from James May.
Okay, well, we're going to have words about this later as well.
Question five. Which two teams feature in the famous Istanbul derby known as the Eternal Rivalry? I just wanted to put in a football question for you.
I think we both know I don't know the answer to that.
I think you'll do better with the next round.
Okay.
It's the Galway goat round.
Awesome. This will be like third podcast running we've talked about that bloody goat. I love the goat. Sarah got me like a tiny goat. It was
Did
like
you?
A boy holding a tiny goat for Christmas.
Then burn it in front of you?
No. We went to IKEA the other day and you can get to what are basically like toilet roll tubes with wool around them in goat form. And after an hour in IKEA, I started finding this very comforting and started carrying one around with me. But anyway.
Have you been to Winter Wonderland yet, or is that still to come?
No, I got out of it.
You got out of it?
I pointed out that actually it was hell, and we always hated it, so we just did drinks on the South Bank instead, where there's also a terrible Christmas market, but you can actually leave it quite easily.
John, I'm so proud of you. For those of you who haven't listened to our past couple of podcasts, we've been talking a lot about the fact that John has been on the hook to go to the world's saddest Christmas thing
it's never fun.
No,
like, it's just
it's
never
terrible.
Ever fun.
It's terrible.
And it's always like, I'm really enjoying seeing all my friends. I would just rather I was doing it anywhere else in the world.
I just think if you can avoid mechanical statues of Germans in your Christmas, you should.
Yeah. Godly goat round. Come on.
Question one. How was the goat destroyed in 1970?
Was 1970 the year it was kicked to pieces?
No.
Then I don't know.
Two drunk teenagers set it on fire. Mm. How was the goat destroyed in 1976?
Burnt.
It was hit by a car.
Ah.
What was special about 1979?
The goat survived.
There were two goats. The first goat burned prior to being erected and the second one broke.
Ah, okay.
What happened to the 1983 goat?
Burnt.
Its legs were destroyed. Question five. What happened to the 2011 goat, even though it was sprayed with water to create an ice coating?
It was set on fire.
What happened to the 2013 goat, even though it was soaked in a flame retardant?
It was set on fire.
And in between, what happened to the goat in 2012?
It survived.
It was set on fire.
Oh. I was so sure there's going to be a trick question in here.
No, it's all okay. Just Burning Goats.
Okay.
That is the end of the City Metric Christmas quiz. Thank you for playing, John. I think you did pretty well. I wasn't totting up your scores as we went along, but I'm sure keen listeners will be telling you how they compared.
Excellent. To wrap up, something I kind of wanted to talk about a little bit is I've been looking at the stats for this podcast.
Ooh.
And, you know, we do all right. You know, there's a few of you. There's frankly more of you than I feel we deserve in many ways. But, yeah, and one of the things that strikes me looking at the stats, I was just trying to get them up on my phone, but I turned it on flight mode to record the podcast, and so I can't. This is particularly good radio, isn't it? But, yeah, so probably unsurprisingly, a big chunk of our listeners are in the UK. I don't mean that. And the next biggest country is the US. I don't think those are any surprise. But the funny thing is, you get below that, and we've got listeners in some quite surprising places. We have a listener in Tehran. We've got a few, I think, in Tirana, in Albania.
Hey! Hello, Tehran.
We're quite big in Tokyo and Hong Kong.
Hello, Tokyo.
Hello. I was just thinking it would be nice to hear from some of you guys. Like, we used to have a segment that we ran not every week, it kind of depended on whether anyone could be bothered to do anything for us, but we would just get a listener to kind of tell us about their city. And generally the people most keen to do that were other podcasters who are obviously trying to promote their own. So we had the millennials talk about living in Berlin. We had someone talk about Singapore. We had Lyman Stone talking about Washington, D.C. But what I'd be interested in is just like, you know, if you're the person in Tehran who listens to this Skylines, get in touch. Just tell us who you are. Tell us something about Tehran. Because I'd just kind of like to know who we're talking to. That's all. That's your job for 2017.
If you live in a city that isn't London, New York, Manchester, or any other of the cities that we talk about regularly, yeah, please do drop us a line. We are on Twitter. We are at John Ellidge, at Stephanie Boland, at City Metric, and we spend all day arsing around on there because we're journalists. So.
Yeah, that's basically, I mean, at this point, I'm really just a Twitter account with some meat hanging off the back. So,
so please do get in touch. John, what are you looking forward to in 2017?
I think there is a non-zero chance that Andy Burnham is against the odds going to lose the race to become mayor of Greater Manchester, and that will fill me with joy. How about you?
Well, everything else has just left my head now you've said that. That would be the ultimate 2017 thing. But no, new travels. I think we should try and go to more of the cities on that list that we've not been to yet.
Yeah.
And chat to more of our readers and get out and about.
I think also at some point we should probably sort of really stick our head in the noose and do a live one of these.
I think we should do a live one of these. Would you come to a live City Metric podcast again? Tweet at us and maybe we'll put something together.
Probably in a pub.
Definitely in a pub. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas, everyone.